Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Thanks for joining us. You know, it's wonderful to have you with us. We have such a great lineup today. I'm always thrilled when we have a wide variety of guests on the show as we have today. I wanted to remind you before I get into my next guest that at ExitCoachRadio.com, put it into your smartphone, ExitCoachRadio.com, you can dig up the audio library and look at and listen to, rather, interviews from hundreds and hundreds of our past interviews categorized in 12 different topics, 20-minute interviews while you exercise or listen. You can even find one-minute highlights if you just want to sample some of the material. So ExitCoachRadio.com, the audio library. My next guest is Jeff Soka from ARC Financial Group. I hope I got that name right. We're going to get into this because we're going to talk about tips for keeping your business in the family for generations. And this is very timely because we're coming up on the holiday season. And one of the goals of family business planning, as we talk about it, is to have happy Thanksgivings forever. So, Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hi, thanks for having me. How are you?
Good, thanks. Sorry to keep you waiting there a little bit. We got a little bit delayed earlier in the show. But, Jeff, first of all, did I get your name right? Tell us your last name.
Yeah, my last name is Soha.
Soha, I screwed it up completely. Okay, I apologize for that. Jeff Soha, and you're with ARC Financial Group. Tell us a little bit about your background and ARC Financial Group.
Sure, a little about my background as it relates to keeping the business in the family. I grew up in a third-generation construction family that my grandfather started in 1950. And most people might not realize that less than 15% of businesses actually make it to the third generation. So it's pretty unique to have that experience firsthand. I took my passion for business and founded ARC Financial Group. We're going on 7 years in business of helping people in business take care of the things that are most important.
That's fantastic that your family business made it to the third generation, and you said less than 15% of businesses don't. Is there a particular general reason why the businesses don't make it? I think I understand a little bit, but I wanted to hear from you.
Sure. I'm sure you can imagine a variety of reasons that could cause a business not to make it to the next generation. I think where we're sitting today, you've got this baby boomer generation that own and control most of the organizations in our country. And the biggest thing that they're facing is whether they are going to plan for a successful transition or not. And I really think that this is going to go one of two ways. Either that generation that owns and controls most of the businesses and organizations, whether they be nonprofit or for-profit or whatever it is, if they plan for a successful transition to the next generation, then you're going to have businesses that continue to thrive. If they fail to plan, then I think we're going to see a lot of private, family, local business go under, which is going to create probably the biggest entrepreneurial opportunity that this country has seen since post-World War II.
I agree with you, but there's a couple other overriding factors that I think that have crept in over the last 20 years, and number one is technology. And businesses, you know, I look at a business kind of like a money machine. Does that make sense? It's, you know, it's you put raw materials and ideas and hard work in and money comes out, but a lot of times they're ugly money machines. I mean, you walk up to some of these businesses that have been around for 50, 60 years and they're not pretty, you know, the manufacturing plants and those types of things. And they're also machine and people intensive in a lot of cases. And technology these days has brought a whole new way to start. If you were starting up a business today, chances are you wouldn't have employed so many people doing so many things as you did back then. And so that whole dynamics have changed. A lot of people aren't good people managers when it comes right down to it.
I completely agree.
That's the scary thing for me, is because I talk to a lot of business owners, and you ask them, well, do your kids want to take over? And they go, this place? No, and I don't want them here. You know,
yeah.
Problem is there's going to be a lot of family businesses that I don't know if those 15% statistics are going to hold over the next several years, but I hope they do, because they're also, it's an amazing thing when a family business sustains and creates a legacy.
Well, if you think about it, less than a third even make it to the second generation. So, you know, you can see that just private business in general has a hard time making that transition, whether it to be second or to third generation or even farther. But a lot of the baby boomer generations, you might have multi-generations inside the same company right now. You might have the founder and his son and maybe even a grandson that's entering the business, or granddaughter that's entering the business.
Yeah, there's so many dynamics that enter in. We could talk about this for hours, but you know, you talk about transition. It's easy to transition a balance sheet. It's very difficult to transition power and control dynamics between fathers and daughters and sons and mothers and you know, grandfathers and all these generations. So would you agree with that statement? And what are some of the ways that you think business owners should think about control or power transitions?
Sure, that's a really good point. You know, there's a lot more to it than just the money. You know, there's financing options available, and there's lots of different ways to pay for the business. A lot of businesses get passed down through owner financing, but in essence, when you're transitioning a family business, it's practically a gift, and then the child just continues to share the profits with the parent until the parent is satisfied. So there's a lot more factors just beyond the money. And when you're talking about control, there's a lot of variables that have to be passed on. There's key relationships, there's authority. How do we pass on the values and the culture? And if it's father going to son or mother going to daughter, whatever the relationship is that child going to be just like the parent? Are they going to have the same personality, the same characteristics? Are they going to lead and build the same culture? Are they the same kind of team builder? You know, there's so many dynamics that sometimes we even have to bring in a family business counselor just to help work through the different personalities and character traits.
Yeah, as you're talking and as I'm thinking about situations that I'm involved with too, we have to deal with the potential for hurt feelings all over the place in a family business transition, not only from kids that are working in the business and kids that aren't working in the business, but also those key employees that may have been there with the patriarch of the business, and now they're wondering why they got passed over, and they're thinking, I'm not going to listen to the kid because I saw that kid grow up. You know,
right. That can be very challenging, especially depending on the age ranges. You know, you have a 60 or 70 year old exiting, and you have a 40 or 50 year old key person that's been there longer than the child. They saw the child when they were a little kid, and now you've got a 30 year old kid, and you have to start to define what is required in order for a family member to be employed here. Are they entitled to employment? Are they entitled to a leadership role? Or are we going to put in some boundaries that lead that child to earning that position? And how are they going to be paid? Are they going to be paid according to the position? Are they going to be paid according to their last name? These are things that can really cause dysfunctional culture if not transitioned properly.
Yeah, back to that statement I made before. You can transfer the stock. You can transfer the assets, but how do you earn authority as a child coming into a, and I don't mean an 8-year-old, I mean a 38-year-old coming into a business where you didn't, it's not a clean sweep. You didn't just get rid of all the old employees and come in with new employees. They have learned behaviors and learned respect of the current authority. How do you transfer that authority? And the other thing is, everybody's watching to see, you know, you remember those old driver's ed cars where you have, well, they may still have them, but you have a steering wheel on the driver's side, but you also have one on the passenger side, or you used to, where the teacher could grab hold of the controls if the student's going haywire. Remember that?
Yeah, that's a fantastic analogy.
We can picture that. How does that, if the authority figure is in the passenger seat, but they keep grabbing the wheel away from the kid, what does that do to the authority?
Sure, there's a lot of factors involved there. And when you think about it, a lot of the business owners today, they don't really like the topic of succession planning, so they continue to put it off. If you think about it, it's almost like divorcing your identity because you might have formed this business out of nothing, and it's become part of who you are as a person. And so to contemplate passing it on and not being a part of it is almost like shedding this half of your identity, and that's a very difficult thing to do. So we try to change the conversation into what we call a life plan for your business. So when you think about a life plan for the business, the owner doesn't have to think about it as this part of themselves that is dying or that is going away that they're cutting out. It's more of, hey, you've put so much into this thing, and it's this living, breathing entity that has so many dynamic variables. We need to have a plan for it. We need to have a life plan for that business that is going to, you know, succeed your lifetime if that's a legacy that you want to leave behind. So we spend all this time, whether it be financial planning or tax planning, and we do a lot of those things for the clients as well. But, you know, business planning, all sorts of types of planning. How are we going to get this project done, or how are we going to launch this new product, et cetera? But where are we carving out the time to say, how are we going to create a plan to transfer this business? And what are they going to be the boundaries? You know, you have to create a mission statement, a vision for the plan, for the transition. You have to get the buy-in. You have to get the whole team. You have to get the next generation. You have to get the key people. Everybody has to have buy-in. And you have to have an owner, the older generation, that's willing to give the next generation that's taken the keys, they have to give them room to fail. And that's probably the hardest part. I think that's what you're talking about by grabbing that steering wheel.
Yeah, there adds that complexity of the, you know, you have the mind, you know, the mindset of the owner and the key employees and their successor owners. You have the soul of the business, the rest of the employees, and the culture of the business. And how do the outsiders and the vendors look at this change? Do they respect the change? And then you have the checkbook, you know, the wallet, if you will. How are the financials going to transfer? It's a very complex topic. We all know that. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see 50-plus business owners make when it comes to succession planning?
I think at the root of the mistakes that we see, it's procrastination. When you condense a time frame, you increase the stress and anxiety level. So if the owner in their mind, you know, what they might say is, I'm going to work forever. Okay, well, we've all heard the saying that people have two reasons for doing something, one that sounds good and the real one. So once we get past that first answer and we can dig into the real answer is they're having a hard time grasping the reality of not being a part of this thing that they've put their blood, sweat, and tears into for 30 years or 40 years. So getting them to acknowledge that one day, whether it's because of death or disability or old age or just because they're tired of it finally, they're not going to be in that business. You have to get to that acknowledgement state before you can start to create the plan. But if you just live under the delusion that I'm just going to work until I'm done, and then when I'm done, I'm just going to walk out of here and they're going to take over, that is a recipe for disaster. So getting that conversation started early, you know, you're talking about happy Thanksgivings and Merry Christmases and the happy holidays. In order for those things to happen, you've got to have this well-planned transition. You can't just work, 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 and then one day toss the keys to somebody and walk out. That's a recipe for disaster. So I'd say the biggest issue there is a failure to plan, and just that's a result of procrastination. I would say one of the other mistakes that I see that really embeds some seeds of high risk and potential failure is when the transition plan of a business, generally the people that own a business, that business represents the majority of their personal net worth. When that business transition plan is not coordinated with their estate plan, and the estate plan and the business succession plan are not in sync, you can have grave disasters. Sometimes parents might think, well, we have one child that's in the business and they're really interested in it, so we'll give them the company. And we have another that they're not in it at all. So we'll just leave the real estate to them that the business is on. And you think, okay, well, that's a fair way to split it up. Except the problem is this happened with a barbecue chain outside of Austin. And then as a result, the family split. The daughter got the land, the building, the real estate. So all she could get was rent. The son got the barbecue joint. Well, the barbecue joint continued to grow and continued to prosper. And he thought of ways, how do we sell it online? How do we sell our sauce? You know, how do we do all these creative things to grow the business? So then he and his family get nicer vacations, bigger houses, newer cars, you know, all the things that the other family could see, and they're still getting the same rent. So then they think, well, this isn't fair, so let's start jacking up the rent on our brother so that it's more fair. And eventually the brother says, you know what, this rent is ridiculous. I'm just going to move across town and get my own building. And then what happens? You know, you have this family feud. You don't have the happy Thanksgiving. And it didn't come from a bad intention. It came from the parents trying to be fair and equitable. It's just they did not have an advisor sitting down with them saying, let's talk about equalizing your estate and correlating that to the business succession plan.
Yeah, it's a common situation. It's even more common when you have kids that are, obviously, if you have three kids and one of them's heavily involved in the business, may even be a shareholder or an executive, and another one might just be an employee, a good employee in the business, but just an employee, and then a third might not be involved at all. It gets very, very difficult, and those are, again, like you said, this is a five-year planning topic. It's not a 1 year, because things are busy as it is, and a lot of people get caught in what we call perma-five, which is in 5 years I want to be out, and they never start the clock on the plan, and it's always five
right.
years, right?
Right.
5 years from
right.
now, it's
and
still
I think,
5 years.
I think that's a great point, because I think you can draw a direct correlation between the time that you give yourself for the transition plan and the success rate of the transition. If you give yourself 5 years, much greater degree of success than 1 year. But you can even take it 10 years and say, you know, I'm going to start 10 years from now. How do we create the plan for 10 years or even 15 years? It doesn't hurt to start early. It's going to increase your probability of success. You know, and to talk about complicated scenarios, we've worked with different companies. I can think of one we're working with right now. There's three brothers that are in the business. One owns 75% of the business, one owns 25% of the business, and one owns 0% of the business, and they're all three running this business. And they all have kids that within the next 10 years are going to start entering the business. Mm-hmm. How do you solve that problem? That is complicated, and you have a lot of people involved.
It's not easy. There's a lot of challenges. We know that. How specifically does ARC Financial Group help business owners to make a successful transition? Jeff, what do you do?
So I think all starts with sitting down and understanding from the owners what is it that they ultimately want. Getting them to acknowledge that one day, even if we have to just pretend for just let's just pretend for a minute, one day you're not in this business. How would you like to see this business when you're not here? What would you like to see the outcome? How do you want your family to interact? Sitting down and taking the time to have that conversation with them is actually the most valuable thing anyone can do. But most of their advisors don't do it. They don't have time for it. They charge hourly fees, so then the client's worried about the clock running. We charge flat fees so that we can have these open-ended conversations that are really important, critical conversations to have. Because they need to process, what is this business going to be like when I'm not here? What do I want this business to look like? This is going to be my legacy. How do I want the kids to interact? You know, how do I want the cousins to interact, if that's the case?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so starting that conversation and then taking all of their desires, taking what's most important to them and the client, turning that into a mission statement, turning that into a vision statement. And then we go and we meet with each of the individuals that are key to the success of this transition, whether it be the next generation, the key people, and we try to get buy-in from the whole team and get them all on board, and we even take the succession planning to a second level because the owner has to be able to come at this plan from a place of strength. And if you think about the key people, right, they're not blood, so they might not respond as favorably as a family member who might just be on board because they're part of the family. So you've got to take it a step farther and think, okay, I've got this key position over here. Who do I have behind that key position? Do I have this second degree of succession planning? Do I have this second level of succession planning in place so that if this doesn't go well, for business continuity's sake, what do I have backing that up? And identifying what are the key areas of the business where you might have some gaps or you might have some points of risk because you don't have the backup in place. And for an owner trying to transition this and for the company's success, you've got to come from a place of strength where you have that redundancy in each of the key roles, not just who's going to be the next CEO.
Jeff, great, great comments. A very, very vitally important topic for our economy, for small business owners and business owners of all size out there. I'm glad that you're out there and ARC Financial Group is out there. How do our listeners get in touch with you, Jeff?
The best way is just to look us up on our website. It's arcfinancial.com, and they can connect with us there. They can follow us on social media. That's how we reach most of our clients, and we can work with people around the country through use of the technology that you were talking about.
And I want to point out that's ARK Financial, ARK Financial.
Jeff,
really a pleasure to talk with you about this, and you explained it so beautifully and bring up a lot of questions for our listeners. It's perfect timing. Again, we're heading into the holidays. I hope people will take this to heart, understand that it's time to start talking about the future of the family business so that you can have happy Thanksgivings forever. Jeff Soha, thanks very much for joining us. Pleasure.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break, and I'll be right back after this, so please stay with us.
Business owners, if you came back from lunch and there was a resignation letter on your desk, which employee would you really, really not want it to be from? What are you doing to prevent this from happening? At Exit and Retirement Strategies, we design plans that attract, motivate, and retain key employees. For a free consultation, call Bill Black, the Exit Coach, at 866-370-3774. Call today.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.